This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's the 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. Welcome back in Hollywood. Omar Kelly, Trevor Long here with you. You heard in Trevor's fired up update there, Panthers and Oilers game six tonight right here on QAM. If you missed our conversation with Kevin Rogers, it was a few hours ago early in the program. We'll revisit that to finish the show, get you a preview of tonight's game six. Feeling like a must win for the Panthers here, Omar. Feeling like a must win. You don't want this thing to come back and to have to roll the dice on
even
a,
if it
on a
did
game
have
seven.
To come back, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you managed to take care of your business. But who cares?
I think it becomes a bigger if you go to game seven, though. Do you agree? Because I think at a certain point, and they can talk about pressure, not, you know, and Coach Maurice did a nice job. He said, no, we're not feeling anything like that. And it's human nature to feel for that to start to creep into your mind, right? That we are on the verge of you know, historic collapse. That has to enter your mind. It's in all of our minds.
Yeah.
And as much as I think the Panthers will win this series, and I'm praying at this point that they do, I don't know if you're ever going to have a better look at winning a Stanley Cup than you did this year.
Think about where they were last year. Losing in the finals.
Yes, that's why I'm saying like this.
And the pain and the growth.
This is your time. And
yes,
they're doing that whole redemption with, you know, red and caps, right? Mm-hmm. You know, for red, redemption.
Yeah.
Redemption.
Okay.
This is it, man. You got to win it this year. If you're ever going to win it, Trevor's got the towel in there. You got to win it this year, man, if you're going to. And I just think tonight is the night to get it done. And, you know, you can go out there and play hopefully a little bit looser than you would in a potential game seven here, because I just think game seven is just it's just the amount
pressure
you would be under,
the ratchets up, especially at home.
You end up playing not to lose and all that stuff. So
do you think a crowd can make an impact on a hockey game?
I don't.
He's not paying attention.
He's not paying attention. He's doing stuff back there. It's okay,
I do work,
Omar,
back here.
Yeah, he is doing work back there. He's not paying attention. I'm sorry, Trevor.
As a season ticket holder, Trevor, do you think the crowd can be an impact difference maker in a game seven?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be raucous. I'll say that for sure.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It's also one other thing. It's also like you're going against one of the best players on the planet in hockey, Connor McDavid. He could have a 4-point night, and if you could stop him the game seven, boom.
So he's right, and here's the biggest issue that the Panthers are dealing with right now is you had this team bottled up for three games, right? Connor McDavid was nowhere to be found. And
then they
what happened in game four to me was kind of disastrous, right? And, you know, Kev, we were talking about this earlier. You know, would you have rather lost a close game or something like that? 8-1 is not good. 8-1 is not good. And it clearly gave Edmonton some confidence that this series was far from over. And, you know, look, shame on us, because we thought this thing was game five felt like a formality. It just felt like these guys were coming back here to
be a party.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like that's how we were treating that game, the way people were fighting for tickets, especially here at the station. Like, it just felt that way going into that game. And, you know, that obviously ended up not being the case. And now the best player in hockey is starting to get loose and starting to show why he is the best player in hockey. And I'll tell you, man, that guy, when he's got the puck on his stick, he does stuff that, you know, I'm not so sure I've ever seen before. He is very special. Now, with all that being said, the Panthers are clearly the deeper team in this series, but they need to get one more of those signature games from Sergei Bobrovsky tonight. He's got to pitch damn near a shutout in this one and come up with some of those crazy saves that we saw him make in games one and games two. He just has to be that guy tonight for the Panthers to close this thing out on the road. But this should be another great game. I'll tell you, game five was, man, that was about as exciting of a hockey game. And of course, it did not go our way, but about as exciting of a game as you can you're ever going to see. Texture 786 says, let's see here. I'm sorry, that one just skipped past me there, Omar. I apologize. If you guys talk to Omar, you better call out Florio. He says to just throw 5-yard outs, and the guys run with the ball the rest of the way.
Who?
He's talking about Florio, calling out Florio. He says that Florio is against Tua, and Florio's been kind of fair about Tua. It's Chris Sims, you know, his partner. I wrote back to the guys. It's Chris Sims who is the
anti Tua.
Yeah,
yeah. So. Right, I'm aware. Trust me, it's very clear who is pro and who is against, and I don't understand why Tua is so polarizing, because he's arguably one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the game.
Chris Sims hate anybody from that 2020 QB class. Let's be honest here, Omar.
I'm sure he likes Joe Burrow,
and that is it.
All right, so we're going to do this. We'll take a pause. We'll get caught up here, and we will talk to Mike Florio when we come back here. Still plenty to come here in this 9 o'clock hour on QAM. I do want to let everyone know before we head off to break here that we have a watch party coming up here, Omar. This is very important here. We have a watch party coming up this Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Irishman in Boca. You know who's hosting said watch party?
That would be you.
Yes, sir. USA and Bolivia. You're by the way, very intrigued by this Copa America. You saw Messi play yesterday.
It can get messy talking. I should be intrigued.
Well, I don't know what the international rules are about talking to the media, but I think he calls the shots in the MLS games. I'm gonna
go out on a limb. Get those MLS crowds and
say that they probably go to Messi after the match and like, hey, do you want to talk? And he goes, no. And he said, okay, whatever you want, Mr. Messi.
I don't even think they ask.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Thank you for being here.
Listen. That is exactly what I was going to say. Thank you for being here. He is bigger than the league itself, and so he could do what he wants. Now, with that all being said, we are going to be registering people to win tickets to see Messi in person with Inter Miami. If you haven't been to a game when Messi plays for Inter Miami, I went to one last year. They are fantastic. It really is a cool experience to see that guy play in person. So we'll be registering you for tickets out there. We're going to have some giveaways for you as well. Our friends from Caneswear hooked us up with some gear, and our friends from Sinbad Sports as well, they have hooked us up with some memorabilia. So there's plenty of stuff to go around for everyone out there. You have 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Irishman in Boca. So we'll hopefully see you out there, and we'll watch some soccer together, USA and Bolivia, on a Sunday evening. All right, we'll take a pause. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Welcome back in here on WQAM. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. We are joined by Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, as he usually does here on Fridays. Mike, thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
Hey, great to be with you guys. How's everything?
Everything is good, Mike. I need you to settle an argument with me. I was debating here with Danny, because I make the argument that Tyreek is probably the number one weapon in the NFL. Not receiver, but weapon. Where would you stack him up in terms of who is better than Tyreek Hill at scoring touchdowns?
I think all-around weapon, running the ball, catching the ball, getting open, and what he will be able to do if deployed by the Dolphins in the new kick return formation, I think that makes him still, even at age 30, the top overall weapon in football. Now, how many years he'll still hold that title remains to be seen, but when you consider all the things he does and just that explosiveness that no one can really match and the acceleration, change of direction, stop on a dime, jump straight up in the air right after stopping on a dime, I mean, everything he can do is unmatched, I think, currently. But again, how much longer will he have that level of skills as he crosses into the 30s.
Why do you think teams have that 30-year window of putting a guy down? Obviously, you look at it from a contract standpoint. That's where teams want to pivot off a player when they're 30. Do you think it's just the recovery time?
I think it's everything. It's biology. It's history of what we've seen. It's the wear and tear. It's something that's been borne out really forever. I remember when I was a kid paying attention to sports. One of the things I noticed fairly early on between baseball, basketball, and football, once a guy's in his 30s, he's pretty damn old. And Chris Sims talked about that all the time, just beyond what your body does. You walk into the locker room at 30 and you feel like a grandpa because every year there's another crop of 21-year-olds or 20-year-olds in some cases who are showing up, and those guys are healthy, those guys are younger, those guys are faster, and if those guys have a skill set like yours, more likely than not, they're going to be able to use it at a higher level than you can, as you are just basically trying to fend off Father Time, who continues to be undefeated, even for Tom Brady. Father Time, ultimately, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that because he could still play if he wanted to, but for everybody except Tom Brady, Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah, another player who Father Time is probably catching up to is Calais Campbell. He recently signed here with the Miami Dolphins. Even though he's at the advanced age of 37, Calais still put together a phenomenal season with the Falcons last year. How much do you think he makes a difference in terms of replacing Christian Wilkins?
I don't think it's about replacing Christian Wilkins as it's getting a guy who probably, if they manage him as they should, won't be playing a whole lot earlier in the year. I think he's the kind of guy maybe you want to save as much as you can for the postseason run. I think he's a presence you want to have. He's got experience. He's got leadership. He's been to a Super Bowl, even though it was 2008, his rookie year with the Arizona Cardinals. But I think this is a guy who's seen a lot, done a lot, and he's at a point where he can add to the dynamic that, you know, from time to time you wonder, is there that edge, that toughness, that grit, that determination, especially on the defensive side of the ball that the Dolphins need? Is it too much of a finesse team? At some point they need to be a punch-you-in-the-mouth team. And Calais Campbell, even though he comes off as a gentle giant away from the field, when it's time to go play, he will exert himself. It helps when you are a giant, literally. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to win those battles when you look like you just came down a beanstalk.
Mike, I have a question for you. So Omar put out a story in the Herald that he said he spent a lot of time working on, and he broke down the roster, and he said, you know, trying to figure out which roster is better, last year's or this year's for the Miami Dolphins. Do you believe that the Dolphins got better as a whole, or did they take a step back?
I mean, it hurts to lose Christian Wilkins. At a minimum, and I've talked to people around the league about this, and this speaks to the salary cap issues they had. At a minimum, you do what the Panthers did with Brian Burns. You tag him and you trade him. You don't just let him walk away in free agency. You get something for him. They didn't have the cap space, or at least they chose not to use it long enough to hold him around to get something in return. Ideally, you keep him. So it's going to be hard to recover from that. And a dominant interior defensive lineman can help an entire defense in ways that don't show up in the box score, but that are very real because it disrupts everything and it makes it easier for everyone else to do their job. So it's hard to come back from that if you don't have a Christian Wilkins. offensively, I don't see how it would be any different, but everybody's a year older. And, you know, Teron Armstead, how close is he to the end? The running back situation is still very good. There's a lot of different guys that are going to be competing for the ball. Jalen Waddle getting deeper into his prime. Tyreek Hill, if he still has that high-end gas in the tank, then it should be fine. But, you know, I don't think they're noticeably better offensively. They may be noticeably worse defensively. And when you look at the other teams they're competing with, that's the real question. How do we stack up to the other teams that we are trying to get past? Whether, you know, we're the sixth seed or, based upon the Chiefs ring, the seventh seed, how do we compare to the other teams, and do we have a chance to migrate up the playoff tree? I don't sense that the Dolphins, like, I don't look at the Dolphins and say, this is a team that is ready now to make a Super Bowl run. Now, maybe they could, because injuries are the great unknown, and that's the thing that can make a huge difference for a team. If you stay healthy and your main competitors don't, I'm not ruling them out, but I don't look at them and say, all right, they're ready to go. They're ready to get to the Super Bowl for the first time since, hell, when was the last time? Was it 84? Is that the last time?
I think 87.
So Mike, Joe hits us with this all the time. Joe played in the last one.
Which was what?
Joe's like 90, so.
Wait, when was the last Super Bowl? It was 84. It was the David Woodley was the quarterback.
Think that sounds right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Mike, let's get
in. I'm too old to remember. I remember the game at some level in my brain, but the rest of my brain won't allow me to remember it.
Let's get into some Tua talk.
It was Super Bowl 19. It was Marino and the 49ers. Okay, never mind.
Which was what year?
That was the early 85.
Okay. Let's get into the Tua conversation. Obviously, a deal hasn't gotten done. The one thing I do love about you, Mike, and this is something that I continue to campaign, I look at the real numbers, not what's the reported numbers. And when you look at Trevor Lawrence's deal, there are some things about it that kind of make you scratch your head. For instance, when I did the math, he's making $26.4 million over the first 5 years of his deal. And I say to myself, if that's really what the real money is before 2029 kicks in at 78.5 and 2030 kicks in at 74.8, if that's the real deal of the contract, if I'm Tua, I mean, if I'm the Dolphins, I say, yeah, you want Trevor Lawrence's deal? Let's do it.
Well, I'd have to go back and look at the details on Trevor Lawrence. One of the issues was the cash flow early on really isn't great.
Yeah.
And guys, you know, I talk to players about this. For whatever reason, they get so caught up in that APY.
Yes.
And I think it's just part of the inherent competitive nature
of the agents.
Professional athletes.
It's the agents.
It's the agents, and I think the players too, because I've talked to like Devin McCourty about it, because it's like, I said, hey, how much do players factor in, you know, state income tax? And he said they really don't care about it. They care about APY. That's the thing when you walk into the locker room. Look, what are they calling Jalen Waddle? They're calling him 28. That's his new money APY. Guys get so caught up in the average per year. And however we get there, the Tyreek Hill's got that phony $45 million in 2026 that drives the average up to $30 million, even though it's really $25 million. So, you know, I think that really is a huge factor. And, for Trevor Lawrence getting to 55, you know, there was value for his agents. You're right. The agents are part of it, too. They're driving that bus. They want to be able to take this contract and use it to get new clients. So that is a big part of it. But with Tua, look, I guarantee you his people are looking for a market-level deal, something that starts with a five. And I think the fundamental threshold question is whether or not the Dolphins want to start with a five or whether they want to start with a four. And I still believe at some point before the start of training camp and or before the start of the regular season, there'll be an offer on the table from the Dolphins that likely starts with a four, possibly starts with a five, but it's 5-0, not higher than that. And Tua is going to have to decide, do I take this deal or do I play for $23.1 million this season and see what happens after 2024?
What do you think happens if there is an impasse by the time we get to the regular season? Do you think he realistically would turn down $150 million guaranteed to play for $23 million knowing his injury history?
I think the first question is, does he show up for training camp if they don't give him what he wants? You know, when Ezekiel Elliott held out 5 years ago in Dallas, he had been there for the offseason program. His holdout was a surprise. Usually what happens, if a guy's going to hold out for training camp, he's not there for the offseason program.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't rule out the possibility that he's got a number he wants, and he wants it by the start of training camp, and if they don't give it to him, he's just not going to show up. And he'll pay the fines, and he'll stay away.
Those fines are ridiculous, Mike. Now you just show up, and you don't do anything because you don't have to participate.
Well,
that's the hold-in.
We've seen the hold-in. We've seen the hold-in, and teams like the hold-in because the guy's there. Because once you're there, it's hard to leave. And at some point, we've seen this a couple of times. With the hold-in, if it doesn't get you the contract, the team eventually says, all right, man, it's time to go to work. We got to go to work. You're here. Once you're there, the team really does get some leverage. The best way to do it is to just stay away like Nick Bosa did last year until he got his contract. He was same as Tua, entering the fifth-year option. He stayed away until we got his long-term contract. The problem for Tua is you're not going to have – the best possible season you can have in 2024 if you're not there for the training camp practices and if you're not getting yourself ready. But that puts even more pressure on the team to give you what you want. What are they going to do, go with Mike White? So I think that it's just something to consider. And it would go against Tua's nature. Tua is very deferential, yes, sir, no, sir, and that's fine. I respect that. There's a point, though, where you have to set that aside and say, hey, you know what, I've been patient. I deserve to be paid at the level of some of these other guys. I'm not showing up until you do it. Then that really puts the kind of pressure on the Dolphins that I don't think they expect to face. That I'm not predicting he'll do it, but, man, that would be the way to wake up the Dolphins and get them to make a big decision pretty quickly about what they're going to do.
Mike, thank you for the time, as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk here with us. Really quick before we head off to break. I'll get you a stock market report sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount, KendallDodgeChryslerJeepRam.com. Market has just opened up here, and the NASDAQ is down 26 points, the Dow down 33 points, and the S&P down 7 points. All right, we're going to talk some Panther hockey when we come back. Kevin Rogers, who handles our in-game stuff for the Cats right here on the Panthers Radio Network, we will talk to him when we come back and preview Panthers and Oilers Game 6. That is next here on QAM.